Our Father, we thank thee that we can gather in this sanctuary for this time of worship. Bless us each as we bow before thee. Speak to us through thy Spirit, through thy word, through thy messenger. Grant to us each as we have need, thy grace, thy mercy, and thy peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. President of the seminary and the dean and the director of counseling, President of the Student Coordinating Council, have asked me to announce that in addition to the regular chapel service next Wednesday, October 15th, there will be a special prayer service of prayer for peace here in the chapel from 12:30 until 1:30. Next Wednesday from 12:30 to 1:30 here in the chapel, special service of prayer for peace. So I'm going to welcome visitors to our chapel service. We have some today who are guests, I understand, from Atlantic Christian College. I'm especially happy to welcome a group of sixth graders who worship with us here in chapel this morning. Their teacher is the wife of one of our seminary students. And we're glad indeed that you boys and girls have come to our campus today to worship with us here in the chapel, to see something of what we do. I understand you're going to visit our library. We hope that this will be a very happy time for you here on the campus of Southeastern Seminary. Our scripture lesson this morning talks about a boy, so it's good to have you here with us this morning. Our scripture lesson comes from the sixth chapter of John. Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles. And Jesus went up into the mountain and sat with his disciples, and it was the Passover, the feast of the Jews, that was nigh. And when Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company, he said to Philip, "When shall we buy bread that these may eat?" This he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. And Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them might take even a little. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 little fishes. But what are they among so many?" This is a time of bigness, a time when we think of big business, of vast enterprises, of tremendous conglomerates. This is a time when we spend billions of dollars to put a man on the moon, when big business spends millions of dollars just to get more oil for our cars from the northern slope of Alaska. I was impressed by the fact that the amount of money that one company spends on one ship to get oil from Alaska would endow one of our Baptist schools or colleges in a magnificent style for all the rest of its life. It's a time of bigness. And you and I may well say, in a time when bigness is paramount, what am I? Where do I come in? What can I do? One little person. Who am I? Well, I was led to this line of thought in this time of bigness by two little incidents. One day, my wife handed me a little page out of a devotional book. And if we ministers are honest, we'll confess that most of our good sermon ideas come from our wives or other people anyway. And so I took this one. And as she handed it to me, I saw it was headed, "There is a lad here." So I took that and stuck it in my pocket. Just about that time, we went to worship in a church in another community. And in the course of his sermon, the minister preached a little, a very fine sermon, but used a little story in which he told about a Scotch prayer. It seems in the course of his prayer, this Scotch minister prayed, and prayed very sincerely, "Lord, help me have a high opinion of myself." Well, I thought, I never heard a prayer like that, and so I jotted that down on the same little piece of paper with the text, "There is a lad here." The more I thought about those two, the more I realized how significant and important they were. What a basic truth there is in those two simple and seemingly isolated little things. "There's a lad here. Lord, help me have a high opinion of myself." Now, the scripture story is a very striking one. There was a big crowd, probably the biggest crowd that the disciples had ever seen, come to listen to Jesus. And as Jesus was talking, they were sort of talking among themselves, "How in the world are we going to feed all these people? What are we going to do with this whole crowd?" And finally, Jesus senses what they're talking about, and he turns to Philip and says, "Philip, what are we going to do with all these people?" And Philip says, "Why, 200 penny worth of bread wouldn't be enough except to give everybody a little bite. Master, I don't know what we're going to do." And then Andrew came through. Andrew was not one of the great disciples. They talked about Peter, James, and John, but Andrew never got mentioned. Andrew was just among the others, but amazingly enough, Andrew, from time to time, seems to come through with just the right answer at the right time. And Andrew had it this time. He said, "Master, there's a lad here who has a lunch with him. He's got 5 little barley loaves and 2 little fish, but what are they among so many?" I wish that John, in telling his story, had given us more of the details about that. It must have been an interesting thing, this boy with his lunch. Now, the amazing thing was he hadn't eaten it already. But to try and separate a boy from his lunch is something else. I could see Andrew looking around, and here's this boy, and I imagine he kept his lunch hidden for a while. He didn't quite want to bring it out and eat it unless other people were doing it. Maybe he was so interested in the preacher, but I'd rather imagine he was a little embarrassed because he had a lunch and some other people didn't. But finally, he began to look for a place to eat his lunch, and there it was in his hand, and Andrew sees it. And Andrew says, "Son, I need your lunch. You need it. I brought it for myself." "Oh, but the master needs it." "You mean him?" "Well, that's different. But I'll give it to him." And so he walks up, and the scripture says Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And then marvelous things began to happen. And everybody was fed. And I can imagine that boy going home at night and telling about the big crowd and about Jesus. And finally his mother says, "Son, did you enjoy your lunch?" He says, "Me and everybody else." His mother says, "Well, what do you mean?" And he tells what happened when he gave the master what he had. And gave it gladly. And here's where our second little incident comes in. that prayer of that Scotch preacher, Lord, help me have a high opinion of myself. Now that's important. To be sure, the scripture says no man should think of himself more highly than he ought to think. And yet, the scripture says some other things too. It says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory and honor. I think Paul was thinking of the same thing when he said, not that I've attained, I haven't arrived yet, but I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And Jesus himself said, you don't need to worry. The Lord knows when even a sparrow falls, and you're of far more value than many sparrows. Why, the hairs of your head are all numbered. You talk about miracles, that's one of the biggest ones to me. The Lord wouldn't have much trouble with my hair, but with some of these bushy hairs you see today, that really is a miracle. And what does it all mean? It means that you and I are important in the sight of God. That even the littlest and the humblest of us has something to give that he needs. And when we give God what we have, miracles happen. That's the basic fact that comes out of this little story about a humble disciple and the little boy. That when we give what we have to give and what we are, God can work miracles. And he does. Jesus stressed that again and again. He took one man who was up a tree, more ways than one, in a crowd and said, Zacchaeus, I'm going home with you. And wonderful things happened. Or Jesus is walking along with a great crowd pressing around him, and one woman touches him. And Jesus turned around and said, who touched me? Oh, why, Master, with all this crowd. No, there was some special person. And the woman was healed. Because Jesus thought she was important. We had it illustrated just yesterday here. Some years ago, there was a lad here on this campus, just a boy, among others. His father was interim pastor of the Wake Forest Baptist Church. But he gave the Lord, that lad did, all that he had. And yesterday he stood right here in this pulpit and told us of the wonderful things his congregation was doing in Washington because there was a lad on this campus who gave all he had to the Lord. Now he's pastor of the Tacoma Park Baptist Church in our nation's capital. Or I heard a noted preacher one time tell how he was a lad in Scotland, wondering what in the world to do with his life. And he was walking home late one night and a terrific rainstorm came up and he lost his way. And just as a sudden flash of lightning came, he saw that with another step or two, he would have walked over a cliff and died. And he huddled under that tree until the storm was over and the day began to dawn. He walked home saying to himself, God spared my life. There must be some reason for it. Lord, what do you want me to do? And that Scotch lad became Peter Marshall, one of the great preachers of his generation. There was a lad in the hills of North Carolina. One day through another preacher, whom most people have forgotten, God touched that lad's life, and God had Billy Graham. was a lad down in Georgia, just a preacher's boy. When I heard that lad preach one time to a great crowd of people, his father sat on the platform, and every once in a while the boy was preaching, the father would stand up and say, "Make it plain, son, make it plain." And the son said, "I have a dream, a dream." Because Martin Luther King had a dream, a lot of second-class citizens in this country began to find the joy and meaning of life. Because there was a lad in Georgia who gave God all he had, even to the end. Just a few years ago, there was a lad on the campus of the University of Richmond up in Virginia. Nobody paid much attention to him on campus. He was there for his classes, but he was so busy earning his way through college, he didn't have much time for college activities. He earned his way by selling pills that his father made in a little one-room office above his drugstore. When the father died, the mother kept that little business going with the help of one servant. And the boy got out of college and helped his mother make pills. The other day, that boy, now a man, stood on that same campus before the university's board of trustees and said, "I've always wanted my school to be one of the very finest in the country, and to help, I'm going to give the school $50 million. It all happened because there was a lad who gave what he had to give. And God worked miracles. One of the dearest friends I have he was just a lad on the streets of Abeokuta over in Nigeria. And the missionary saw him there, and she said, "Wouldn't you like to go to school?" And she helped him to go to school, and then to college, and then to seminary, and then to this country to study. And today he's the leader of the Baptists of Nigeria, the successor to our own beloved Dr. Patterson, in that big responsibility in his native land. Tanamola Ayorande's name literally translated means, "Who knows what this boy will become?" It's wonderful what happens when ordinary folks just give God all they are and all they have. That has a special meaning for you and for me. We're pastors, teachers, students, leaders of young people, boys and girls. We're taught no man should think of himself more highly than he ought to think. But we ought to think of ourselves as highly as God did when he sent his son to die for us. As highly as Jesus did when he said, "Give me what you have. Take up your cross. Follow me." We ought not to discount what it can mean when we do what he says. For example, some years ago in Scotland, they closed a revival meeting in a Scotch church, and somebody said to one of the deacons, "How many souls were saved?" And he said, "Just one little lad, that's all." But years later, when Livingston had completed his work in Africa and died for the land he loved, and someone was needed to carry on his work, who was it that picked that up and carried it on and helped to open up Africa? It was Robert Moffat, the little lad, the only one whose soul was saved in the revival in Scotland. It is wonderful what God can do and the miracles that come to pass when we simply say, Lord, this is all I have. But it's all yours. For it's God who's matched us with this hour. And what an hour it is. An hour of big business, an hour of big evil, a challenging time. When God needs all the help that we can give. And he needs you. And what you have and what you are. The other day, Dr. Perry Crouch told me of standing one day with Frank Laubach, that man who saw need and met it, who saw millions of people in this world who couldn't read and said something ought to be done about world literacy. And because Frank Laubach gave himself to that one cause, today hundreds of thousands of people know how to read. And Perry Crouch says he stood one day after Frank Laubach had told about his work. And he saw a young man come up and take Dr. Laubach's hand and congratulate him on the wonderful work he'd done. And Laubach stood quiet for a moment and looked him straight in the eye. And then very quietly he said, young man, I would give all that I am and all that I have if I had your youth and your years to give to do God's will. God grant we may so live and grow and give that other Andrews will have reason to say, there's a lad here. And miracles will continue to come to pass by the grace of God and to his glory. Shall we pray? O Master, let us walk with thee in lowly paths of service, free. Teach us thy secret. Help us bear the strain of toil, the fret of care. In hope that sends a shining ray far down the future's broadening way, in peace that only thou canst give, with thee and for thee, O Master, help us to live for thy kingdom's sake. Amen.